Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I'm very pleased to have with us on this day of the inauguration of a new president, Joe Biden, a man who has studied deeply and for a very long time the nature of the challenge that we're facing from international communism, not least that emanates from the Chinese Communist Party and its worldwide operations. His name is Trevor Loudon. He has come to our country to essentially help raise awareness about the danger that Marxists, communists, socialists, democratic socialists, and the like represent to America from his native New Zealand, and has done incalculably important work in laying out the case in a series of books and documentary films, including notably The Enemies Within. He's a frequent guest here at Secure Freedom Radio. We're very pleased to have him with us, not just for an audio, but also for a video of our conversation about the Biden presidency, what we should expect from it, but specifically what its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party is likely to mean for our own country and the world. Trevor Loudon, it is great to have you with us. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today and for giving a full hour, indeed, of your time for that purpose.
Look, it's a pleasure, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
I want to start with sort of a point of calibration, I guess, Trevor. Let's discuss in this first block the nature of the Chinese Communist Party. What we have seen in its 70-odd years of operations, both inside China itself and increasingly elsewhere around the world, how would you characterize the Chinese Communist Party as a threat to our country and freedom-loving people across the planet?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party has grown increasingly aggressive over the last few years. I compare it to the old Communist Party of the Soviet Union, which always had the intention of world domination. It was always its raison d'etre. Well, the difference between the Soviet Party and the Chinese Communist Party is the Chinese Communist Party has lots more money, which is able to use all around the world to extend its influence. And we are, I think, going to see that going to overdrive now that President Trump is no longer in the White House.
And what would you say is the character of the regime? There are those who say, well, it calls itself a communist party, but it really isn't a communist party. There are certainly aspects of its economic model that are, I guess, more fascistic than, strictly speaking, communist. But when you hear that term applied to the party, to its membership, to its agenda, is it apt or a relic of the past?
Yeah, look, I think it is a genuine communist party. And people look at its economic policies, you know, it's so-called, you know, and it does more closely resemble a fascist system in its current form. But this just goes back to classic Marxism. You know, Marx talked about the stages of development from primitive communism. You know, society would go from primitive communism to feudalism to a capitalist system, then it would go to socialism, then to communism. And if you look at the Xi's own talks and the writings of the Chinese Communist Party, they openly acknowledge they made a huge mistake with Mao. They tried to go from a feudalist society directly to a socialist society, and missed out the capitalist stage. So that was a huge disaster. So as classic Marxists, they've gone back to the capitalist stage, and now under Xi, they are openly and aggressively talking about socialism again, and they now have the money that the capitalism produced to build up their military and move back onto the socialist aggressive stage. And that's where we are now. So too many commentators have the idea that if a communist country adopts some so-called free market or capitalist economic forms, that that's somehow an abandonment of the communist goal. It's not. It's just classic Marxism. And Marxism is very, very flexible. It will do whatever it takes to expand its power. It'll take one step backwards to make two steps forward. So I don't think we should expect anything but a big push onward to communism under the current regime.
And why that is so important is that it not only speaks to what the Chinese intend to do inside the territory of China, including its captive nations, enslaved peoples, but what it has in mind for the rest of the world as well. And I guess maybe just a quick aside, fascism, of course, was Nazis' term for national socialism, or rather it was their concept, their model for a socialist stage as well. And it's an important point because it demonstrates that they weren't really on the right, as we've often been told. They were just creatures of the left as well. The main thing that I want to make sure we touch on here in terms of level setting, Trevor, is something you've focused on intensively, namely what the Chinese Communist Party has been doing to put into place instruments by which they can extend their socialist, communist, fascist, whatever phase they may be in, model worldwide, including by taking down the United States of America. Quickly, just describe, if you would, the United Front Work Department of the Chinese Communist Party, what it is and what its mission is.
Well, the United Front Work Department is a major part of the Chinese communist regime. And what it does, it's really targeted overseas. It is building up, it's using the Chinese diaspora, it's using its influence in foreign countries through things like the Belt and Road Initiative. Partly it's business, partly it's ideological. It is working with elements of foreign countries to massively extend Chinese influence in those countries. And of course, the United States...
Hold the thought, Trevor. We have to take just a quick break. When we come back, we're going to explore in greater detail with Trevor Loudon, author of Enemies Within and a film by that name as well, the nature of the penetration that the United Front Work Departments have achieved inside the United States. Right back with more with Trevor Loudon right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Trevor Loudon is our guest for this full hour, I'm pleased to say. He is the author, among other things, of Enemies Within and a documentary film, a feature-length documentary film of the same name. He has been just an incredibly important resource to our Committee on the Present Danger China, of which he is a founding member, and to the work of our organization, the Center for Security Policy, and so many others, in terms of understanding the challenge that we're facing from, well, Marxists, social democrats, socialists, communists, and the like that are operating here. And Trevor, we talked before the break about the dedication by the Chinese Communist Party of an immense amount of resources and personnel to something called the United Front Work Department. And I had to interrupt you as you were describing its manifestations. I'd like you to continue that thought. And specifically, how do the various United Front operatives work inside a country like the United States towards their agenda of taking down this country?
Well, not long ago, John Ratcliffe, Trump's intelligence chief, publicly said that the Chinese Communist Party has bribed or corrupted so many U.S. politicians it can determine which legislation is passed through the U.S. Congress. Now, that should terrify every American. And that was news for about a few hours, and it sort of disappeared from the news cycle. But the Chinese Communist Party has multiple organizations operating on American soil, the Confucius Institutes in the universities, the grassroots groups like the Chinese Progressive Association in San Francisco, New York, and Boston, and large groups like the Committee of 100, which was actually started by Henry Kissinger back in the 90s.
And has been surprised?
No, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? You know, but that group in particular is targeting high, very influential Americans, not just of Chinese extraction, but many leading politicians are connected to that group, including Adam Schiff, the Democrat head of the Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, who has served on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Chaired and for a number of years.
Yeah, for many years. And Judy Chu from California, who's head of the Asia-Pacific Caucus in the U.S. Congress and a prominent member of the Progressive Caucus. So these are key American politicians involved in a massive Chinese front operation. And so there are multiple ways that the Chinese tend to work with the Democrats on ideological lines. They tend to use business to co-opt Republicans, but they have massive influence in the Congress and the Senate. And just by the way, the new head of the Committee of 100 is Gary Locke, who was Obama's former governor of Washington State and Obama's ambassador to China. But he is now the leader of this massive Chinese Communist Front operating on U.S. soil.
Now, you've talked about a number of prominent Democrats in the House of Representatives that came out of basically, I guess, the San Francisco machine for the Democratic Party, and all have in common this connection to China. You could add Eric Swalwell, a member of Congress, who has apparently literally been sleeping with the enemy, a Chinese Communist agent, espionage agent specifically, and not least Nancy Pelosi, who thinks so highly of him despite this disgrace, despite this, well, national security peril that he represents, not only to keep him on the Intelligence Committee, but to make him one of the designated prosecutors for the case against President Trump in his second impeachment trial. Trevor, you mentioned that these and other figures are tied into the Chinese Communist Party's presence and infrastructure in San Francisco. Are they wittingly working with not just various front groups, but with the CCP, do you think? Or is there a possible innocent explanation, even after all these exposures of what they've been doing and with whom?
Well, I think the three key operatives in the Bay Area are probably Dianne Feinstein, former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, and Nancy Pelosi. And all of them have had a long time connection with the American Communist Party, going right back into the 1950s and early 1960s. And then they have moved, you know, as the Soviet Union sort of faded away, all three of them moved more and more into the Chinese orbit. Now, it beggars belief to believe they don't know what they're doing or don't have some understanding. The fact that a man like Swalwell, serving on the Intelligence Committee, is sleeping with a Chinese agent, but Nancy Pelosi refuses to remove him from the most sensitive committee in the US Congress, tells me that Nancy Pelosi has a bit of an idea of what she's doing. And you know, the other one, Willie Brown, was the lover of Kamala Harris, who is now going to effectively be the president of the United States. And Dianne Feinstein worked for years to open Chinese access to American markets, to get them admitted to the World Trade Organization. She built the Chinese Communist Party from San Francisco, from her San Francisco base. And it's and while her husband made a lot of money trading with them. So
she also had for two decades a Chinese spy as not just a driver, as he's often described, but as her office manager out in California, which is a position from which he had access, obviously, to immense amounts of information, not only about her and access to her, obviously, but about her, you know, activities and policy decisions, I assume. So, Trevor, when you put all this together, and you mentioned Kamala Harris and her prospective role as the de facto president of the United States, she may well, for all we know, soon be the actual president of the United States. What can you tell us about her involvement with this machinery of the Democratic Party on the one hand, yes, but also its deep ties, apparently, in the San Francisco Bay Area, especially, to the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, look, her whole life has been spent in and around pro-Chinese communists, stretching right back from her parents. You know, her father, Don Harris, a Jamaican economist, her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, an Indian cancer researcher. They were active Marxist radicals back in the 60s. Her father was an affirmative action Marxist professor at Stanford University. But she was involved with Willie Brown, who was very heavily involved with the American Communist Party, then the Chinese Communist Party, well after his affair with her. Her husband, Doug Emhoff's law firm is very heavily involved with Communist China, had Chinese Communist Party members on its staff. But she is really promoted by a man called Steve Phillips, a lawyer from the San Francisco Bay Area, a former member of the League of Revolutionary Struggle, a pro-Chinese Communist Party. He was a student radical at Stanford with Maya Harris, Kamala's sister. They were very close. The whole family and Steve Phillips were very close. But Steve Phillips and here married into a whole bunch of money, the Sandler family fortune, and he has used that to gain huge influence in the Democratic Party. And he has been, he basically got Kamala elected to the DA's position in San Francisco, Attorney General from California, US Senate from California, and now the White House. And that man is still actively financing pro-Chinese communist groups in the Bay Area and nationwide.
Can you give us some examples of such groups that this patron of Kamala Harris has been sponsoring, Chinese Communist Party associated groups in the Bay Area?
Well, in the Bay Area, what he sponsors a new Virginia majority, which is a pro-Chinese communist group that has helped to flip Virginia. But he also sponsors, he helped to set up a group called Left Roots. He financed the beginnings of that group, and that group is very heavily involved, is really part of Liberation Road, the pro-Chinese Communist Party in America, but it's also it runs the Chinese Progressive Association in San Francisco, which is the sort of the support group, the pro-Communist Chinese support group for Black Lives Matter. And so Steve Phillips set up this group, Left Roots, which runs the Chinese Progressive Association, which for 40 years has been Communist China's main influence operation in the San Francisco Bay Area. So this is the man who gave you Kamala Harris, but is also heavily involved in promoting pro-Chinese communist activity in the Bay Area and further afield.
Oh, Trevor, we have to take another break momentarily. I just want to say when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about two of those groups that you've just mentioned, Liberation Road and the Chinese Progressive Association, and their ties to one or both of the groups that have been most, well, aggressively pursuing revolution in our country, notably in the form of true insurrection in our streets, true mob violence across the country, namely Liberation Road and the Chinese Progressive Association. We'll talk about that and a lot more involving how the Chinese Communist Party has gotten its hooks into our country and what it means when Trevor Loudon says senior and influential, in fact, top American officials are involved with such groups and with the Chinese Communist Party itself. All of that and much more with Trevor Loudon, the author of Enemies Within, among others, and a film of that name, which I commend to you as well. We'll be right back with more straight ahead.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to our third segment with Trevor Loudon. Trevor is a remarkable resource, one of our best imports from New Zealand, I think it's fair to say. He often describes himself as having a southern accent, which is quite discernible. But what he says is of great significance, and we always appreciate his visiting with us here at Secure Freedom Radio. And Trevor, thank you for going the extra mile and doing this on video as well as audio. You can follow all of this at securingamerica.tv. Let me ask you, Trevor, to pick up on points that we touched on at the end of that last segment, specifically the extent to which groups like Liberation Road and the Chinese Progressive Association, prominent communist operations tied into this United Front Work Department of the Chinese Communist Party, have been deeply involved with two particularly insidious organizations that came to great notoriety in the past 6 or 7 months, namely Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Well, the Chinese Progressive Association, as I said, has been around since the 1970s. It was founded by members of the League of Revolutionary Struggle, which Steve Phillips, who I mentioned before, was involved with. That morphed eventually into what they called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and that became Liberation Road and Left Roots. So that organization is run by those people. I have on tape one of its leaders, Alex Tom, talking about how that the Chinese Progressive Association has a long-term relationship with the Chinese Communist Party, that they run their messaging past them, their positioning past them, and they have regular conversations with the Chinese Communist Party. He's also led delegations to Communist China to meet with party members and certain institutions in China. So this group, the Chinese Progressive Association, is really the guiding body of Black Lives Matter. The three women who started Black Lives Matter, Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza, and Patrice Kaluas, are all affiliated with Liberation Road. Now, Alicia Garza in particular, the main founder of Black Lives Matter, is a longtime personal friend of Alex Tom. They've been radicals together since their student days at UC San Diego in the early 90s. She is involved with the Chinese Progressive Association. She served on some of their committees, for instance. And she is guided, I believe, by the Chinese Progressive Association through a group that Alex Tom and others set up called Asians for Black Lives. Now, Asians for Black Lives is a complete creation of the Chinese Progressive Association. They wrote the revolutionary manual that guides Black Lives Matter, and they fund Alicia Garza, and they have introduced Alicia Garza to their networks of pro-Chinese communists around the country. So there's very clear indications that Black Lives Matter is a Chinese operation that extends to the Chinese, links to the Ferguson riots of 2014 and the ongoing Liberation Road links to Black Lives Matter all over the country. Black Lives Matter is a Liberation Road front. Liberation Road is a Chinese operation.
This is fascinating, Trevor. And when you say involved, obviously people have different levels of association, but it sounds as though what you're describing is a pretty readily documentable degree of engagement on the part of these Americans, including elected officials, with elements of the Chinese Communist Party's extensive influence campaigns and infrastructure in our country. And again, I take it you're prepared to argue that this is knowing, witting, deliberate engagement, not just that they're being somehow innocently exploited or taken advantage of by skillful influence operators. Is that fair?
Well, look, Kamala Harris, for instance, she mentored a young woman called Latifah Simon. She sort of picked her up pretty from the radical set and got her through college. And now Latifah Simon serves on the Bay Area Rapid Transit Board and is the head of the Akinati Foundation, a radical left-wing foundation in San Francisco. Well, Latifah Simon was very closely associated with standing together to organize a revolutionary movement, STORM. She served with Van Jones, you know, who became Obama's green jobs czar, now serves on CNN. Latifah Simon, the other members of that board became members of Left Roots, and Latifah Simon is best friends with Alicia Garza, the founder of Black Lives Matter. So Kamala Harris, Latifah Simon, and Alicia Garza form a little set, and Kamala Harris has openly come out in favor of Black Lives Matter and openly talked about how the rioting and protest should go on well after the election. So someone with Kamala Harris's family communist background deliberately promoting Maoist communists in the Bay Area and aligning herself with a pro-Chinese communist or movement, Black Lives Matter, tends to show that she knows what she's doing.
I want to talk with you about other manifestations of the Chinese penetration of our society, economy, our body politics. But the elephant in the room, I guess, that hasn't been mentioned to this point and we need to address very directly, I think, is Joe Biden and his ties to the Chinese Communist Party, Trevor Loudon. We learned a lot about them through revelations from Hunter Biden, his son, and the laptop that turned up in the latter days of the election for president of 2020. What do we know about Joe Biden through that source, among others, and his attitude towards and, his own engagement with the Chinese Communist Party over the years?
Well, Joe Biden has been deeply compromised by through his son. And the Chinese have a program. They sometimes, when they try to influence a foreign politician, they don't directly go after the politician per se. They go after the princes, the princelings, the sons or nephews or you know, relatives or brothers of the target. So they have certainly targeted Hunter Biden. They've also targeted Joe Biden's brother. And we learned through the computers that Joe Biden was very, very aware of his son's business involvement with the Chinese, which has rewarded the son with many, many millions of dollars for doing very little, really. You know, for... like, he doesn't have a lot of expertise in any great field. So he was clearly targeted because of his involvement, his relationship to Joe Biden, and for no other reason.
There's actually evidence of Joe Biden himself actually profiting from some of these ties, according to that laptop. Is that right?
Yes, there is. You know, he was involved with the skimming off some of the profits. You know, I think it was 10% on one business arrangement. You know, Joe Biden's ties with the Chinese. If he was applying for a job in the Department of Agriculture, and his background was checked out, there's no way he would get a security clearance, none whatsoever.
And here he's about to become the commander in chief of the United States. And Trevor, to the extent that this has been established, is there any doubt in your mind that these sorts of relationships, compromising relationships, I think you've accurately described them, would be exploited by the Chinese Communist Party?
Are you kidding? The Chinese have got compromising material on the most powerful man in the world, the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, their main opposition to conquest of the planet. And just by the way, Joe Biden's career goes back to the 1970s, when he was promoted by a group called the Council for a Livable World. And that organization's goal was to gut the U.S. military to the advantage of the Soviet Union. Now, Joe fitted right into that the man who created the Council for a Livable World was a bona fide Soviet agent called Leo Szilard. And Joe Biden was personally recruited by a man called Al Gore Sr. Some of you may have heard of his son. He invented the internet and global warming. And Al Gore Sr. was a protege of a man called Armand Hammer, the leading American-Soviet agent of the early 20th century. So Joe Biden has worked in the interests of Moscow and Tehran and more latterly Beijing his entire political career. And we think the Chinese won't try and exploit that.
No, it doesn't sound credible that they'd miss a trick like this, especially given what we know of Chinese tradecraft. They are brilliant, patient, strategic, disciplined in not only creating these kinds of opportunities for exploitation, but actually engaging in it. Trevor, when we come back, I've promised that we're going to talk more about the penetration of our country by the Chinese Communist Party. I want to both get you to tease that out for us and talk about what we must do about all of this under a Biden-Harris administration. Pat and more with Trevor Louden, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our fourth and final installment of this very important, very timely, very special conversation with Trevor Louden, one of America's foremost experts on Chinese Communist Party and other Marxist and socialist and democratic socialist and totalitarian enterprises that are operating inside the United States. And Trevor, thank you again so much for giving us your time today to address this at a moment when, as you've just described, we are, in the midst of the installation of not one but two people with extensive ties, it seems, to Communist Party operations in the United States as the president and vice president, respectively, of our country. I wanted to ask you about, just very quickly, how not only the penetration of our political class by the Chinese Communist Party, but of other institutions or industries in our country, including our media, academia, big tech, other major industrial operations or businesses like Walmart, for example, and the cumulative effect of such, well, deep penetration, for want of a better term, must be for a country like ours at a time such as this.
Back in 2009, the Canadian Intelligence Service, their SIS, released a report saying the Chinese had used their business connections to basically not influence but control the state governments of both British Columbia and Alberta in Canada, Canada's two richest provinces. So that was 10 years ago. They have used their influence in our business communities right up to the big tech titans to be able to project their party line right across America. They've compromised the large businesses like Walmart, etc., who have huge influence in our economy. They've bought up large amounts of infrastructure, a lot of agricultural land, etc. And all this is used as leverage on our politicians, on our state governments. Many Republican governors have extensive business dealings with the Chinese communists, as does the family of Mitch McConnell, the head of the Republican Senate. So they can pretty much dictate what the American government does, what American state governments do, and they can use their big tech influence to shut down any exposure of this. The fact we saw this with Hunter Biden, the massive corruption around Hunter Biden, most voters still don't know about it because the media had the power to shut it down.
And took full advantage of it in the critical run-up to this election. And interestingly enough, I think it was the Media Research Center that did a survey, Trevor, of the number of Democratic voters who said that they would not have voted for Joe Biden had they known about that compromise. It's deeply, deeply troubling against the backdrop that we've been discussing particularly. Trevor, this leads me to a point that I know you have spent considerable time on, and that is Chinese involvement in the election. We had John Ratcliffe, who you mentioned earlier, the Director of National Intelligence, now outgoing, say that the intelligence community analysts who were assessing the degree of Chinese penetration in and influence on the 2020 presidential race was wrong. I mean, fundamentally in error. He used more colorful terms than that, but that was the gist of it. So in addition to warning about the corruption and penetration of our political class, he talked about them being able to have an influence on who actually gets elected to office. In this case, the defeat of Donald Trump, who they detested, the Chinese Communist Party, and the election of a guy who, as you say, has been deeply compromised by them. Give us a flavor of what that involvement looked like, Trevor, and how it could well have been material in the outcome of the 2020 race.
Well, there's many aspects to this, but the overlooked aspect is the Chinese involvement in mass voter registration organizations in key swing states. Now, this was orchestrated by Chinese Progressive Association, again in San Francisco, who the same people who set up, guided Black Lives Matter, set up a voter registration group, Seed the Vote, S-E-E-D, Seed the Vote. And this worked with the network of Liberation Road pro-Chinese communist voter registration organizations that have been operating for some time in America. Like, for instance, in Virginia, New Virginia Majority, run by Liberation Road, claims open credit for flipping that state from Republican to Democrat. And they use maps, very sophisticated computerized maps, GIS mapping, generated by one of their comrades who has worked for the last 10 years out of the geography department of Wuhan University, China. So they're using Chinese material to flip districts.
And when you say maps, you're talking not just about, the geographic maps, you're talking about the demographic maps, which enable them to do very precise targeting of those they were seeking to recruit. And my assumption, Trevor, defer to you on this, is that they weren't just looking to get voters in who they think would vote the way they wanted, but they were looking also, presumably, to see people that might be recruited for other purposes as well. This would be dual-use investments, would they not?
Yeah, this is to build their movement. And because of this network, North Carolina now has a Democratic governor. Kentucky has a Democratic governor. Texas, through the Texas Organizing Project, almost went blue when Ted Cruz, had a race against Beto O'Rourke. He lost. O'Rourke lost by 2.5% when it should have been 15% because of the on-the-ground work these Chinese networks had done amongst minority populations. They had big networks in San Francisco, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all of the key swing states, and Seed the Vote claims that of the seven key states they targeted, they won six of them for Biden. All of the key states that allegedly turned the election for Biden were heavily used by those pro-Chinese networks.
Trevor, this is such important research, and I hope that now that Donald Trump is out of office, it will be possible for it and the other abundant evidence of what I call the electoral grand larceny in this presidential election will be finally possible to be examined publicly and evaluated for the compelling evidence that it actually is. Trevor, we always run out of time before we run out of things to talk with you about, but let me turn to one last topic. You mentioned just now the racial minorities that the Chinese Communist Party's United Front groups like Seed the Vote are targeting for, yes, registration to vote, but also for recruitment for their movement and who knows what else, given the Chinese Communist Party's agenda of destroying our country. One element of the Chinese, Maoist doctrine and campaign against America, of course, is promoting this idea that we are a racist nation. And I'd like to just quickly close out by talking a bit about, A, what the impact of that false narrative is, one, and two, the extent to which the Chinese Communist Party itself, or China, under the Han supremacist regime of Xi Jinping, is actually the world's most racist nation by far.
If the Chinese Communist Party mimics any organization, it is the Nazi Party of Adolf Hitler. They are very much into Han racial supremacy. They suppress any ethnic group within their territory. They try and indoctrinate, you can see what they've done to the Tibetan people with the Uyghurs in Western China. They will suppress any, but the hypocrisy is the main weapon they use in Western countries, particularly in the United States, is to fan the flames of racism.
And divisiveness and ultimately the undermining of our sense of nationhood. And Donald Trump spoke very powerfully about that loss of confidence in who we are and our exceptionalism in his farewell address to the nation yesterday. Trevor, we have to say farewell to you. Thank you for your time today, for your great expertise, and for sharing it so generously with us today. We'll look forward to continuing this conversation with you in the near future on more programs of Secure Freedom Radio. Thanks to all of you for listening. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more. Till then, this is Frank Gaffney, over and out.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.